Random House Audio presents Resolution by Robert B. Parker. This is Titus Welliver. Chapter 1. I was in the Blackfoot Saloon in a town called Resolution, talking with the man who owned the saloon about a job. The owner was wearing a brocade vest. His name was Wolfson. He was tall and thin and sort of spooky-looking, with a walleye. "What's your name?" Wolfson said. "Hitch," I said. "Everett Hitch." "How long you been in Resolution?" Wolfson said. We were at the far end of the big mahogany bar, sipping whiskey that I had bought us. "About 2 hours," I said. "And you come straight here?" Wolfson said. "Ain't that many choices in Resolution," I said. "There's some others," Wolfson said, "but they ain't as nice. Tell me about yourself. What can you do?" "Went to West Point," I said. "Soldiered a while. Scouted a while. Shotgun for Wells Fargo. Did some marshalling with Virgil Cole." "Cole?" "Yep." "You worked with Virgil Cole?" Wolfson said. "Where?" "Lot of towns. Last one was Appaloosa." "And you were doing gun work," Wolfson said. "Some." "Virgil Cole," Wolfson said. I nodded and sipped some of the whiskey. "We got no marshal in this town," Wolfson said. "Sheriff's deputy rides over once in a while from Liberty, but mostly we're on our own." I nodded. "Got a mayor," I said. "Town council? Anything like that?" "Nope." "Who's in charge?" "In town? Nobody. In here? Me," Wolfson said. I glanced around the saloon. It was half full in the middle of the afternoon. Nobody looked dangerous. The lookout chair at the other end of the bar was empty. I nodded at it. "Could use a lookout," Wolfson said. "Last one got hoo-hawed out of town." "What are you paying?" I said. He told me. "Plus a room upstairs," Wolfson said. "Meals?" "If you eat them here," Wolfson said. "Any place else in town to eat?" I said. Wolfson shrugged. "I'll take it," I said. "It's kind of a tradition," Wolfson said. "Some of the boys like to test the new lookout." I nodded. "Fact is, I've had trouble keeping a lookout." I nodded again and drank a little more. The whiskey was pretty good. "I got a big capital investment here," Wolfson said. "I don't want it wrecked." "Don't blame you," I said. "Think you can stick?" Wolfson said. "Sure," I said. "Some tough people here," Wolfson said. "Tough people everywhere," I said. "Any chance you could get Virgil Cole to come up here, too?" Wolfson said. "No," I said. "You fellas on the outs?" Wolfson said. "No," I said. "There's a shotgun behind the bar," Wolfson said. "Got my own," I said. "When you want to start?" "Tonight," I said. "Give me some time to stow my gear, clean up, take a nap." "It can get rough," Wolfson said. "Any backup?" I said. "Bartenders?" Wolfson shook his head. "They serve drinks," Wolfson said. "Ain't got no interest in getting killed." "You?" I said. "I'm a businessman," Wolfson said. "You're healed," I said. Wolfson opened his coat and showed me a Colt in a shoulder holster. "Self-defense," he said. "Only." "So I'm on my own," I said. Wolfson nodded. "Still interested?" he said. "Oh, yeah," I said. "Sure. Just getting the way it lays out." "And you ain't scared," Wolfson said. "Not yet," I said. Chapter 2. I had an 8-gauge shotgun that I'd taken with me when I left Wells Fargo. It didn't take too long for things to develop. I sat in the tall lookout chair in the back of the saloon with a shotgun in my lap for 2 peaceful nights. On my 3rd night, it was different. I could almost smell trouble beginning to cook as people came into the saloon after work. There were more than the usual of them, and they seemed sort of excited and expectant. In addition to trouble, the saloon smelled of coal oil and sweat and booze and tobacco and food cooking and the loud perfume of the whores. There were 6 men who had arrived early sitting at a table near me, drinking whiskey. The trouble would come from them. And it would start with a sort of Weasley-looking fella in a bowler hat wearing a gun. Everyone at the table was looking at me and around the room, trying to look nonchalant. The rest of the customers had situated themselves where they could watch. "Hey, look out," the weasel said. "What's your name?" "Hitch," I said. Everett Hitch. He was wearing a dark shirt with vertical stripes, buttoned up tight at the collar. The buttons were big. "Any good with that shotgun?" the weasel said. The room was quiet now and everyone was watching. The weasel liked that. He lounged back a little in his chair. His bowler hat tipped forward over his forehead. The gun he carried was a Colt, probably a .44, probably single action. He had cut the holster down for a fast draw and wore it tied to his thigh, probably the local gunny. "Don't need to be all that good with a double-barreled 8-gauge," I said. "And I bet you ain't," the weasel said. "Wouldn't make much difference to you," I said. "Why's that?" the weasel said. "I was to give you both barrels from here," I said. "Blow your head off and part of your upper body." "You think?" the weasel said. He was enjoying this less. "Yep, probably kill some folks near you too," I said, "with a scatter." I cocked both barrels. The sound of them cocking was very loud in the room. Virgil Cole always used to say, "You gotta kill someone, do it quick. Don't look like you got pushed into it. Look like you couldn't wait to do it." It was as if I could hear his voice as I looked at the men in front of me. Sometimes you gotta kill one person early to save killing four or five later. I leveled the shotgun straight at the weasel. "Hey," he said, his voice much softer than it had been. "What the hell are you doing? I ain't looking for trouble." "None of us looking for trouble, are we, boys?" Nobody at the table was looking for trouble. "I'll be damned," I said. "I thought you were." "No, no," the weasel said. "Just getting to know you." He finished his drink and stood. "Gonna drift," he said. "See how loose things are down the street." I nodded. "See you again, Hitch," the weasel said. "I imagine you will," I said. The weasel sauntered out, followed maybe less jauntily by the rest of his party. The silence hung for a minute in the room. The sounds of the saloon reemerged. Wolfson came down the bar and stopped by my chair. "That went well," he said. I nodded. "Who's he?" I said. "Name's Wickman. Works for O'Malley out at the mine." "He's not a miner," I said. "No, gun hand. Got kind of a reputation around here," Wolfson said. "He won't like that you backed him down." "Don't blame him," I said. "He'll likely come at you again," Wolfson said. "Likely," I said. "What'll you do then?" Wolfson said. "Kill him," I said. Chapter 3. In the saloon kitchen, the Chinaman made me biscuits and fried sow belly for breakfast. I had 2 cups of coffee with it and drank the second one on the front porch of the saloon. The sun was coming up behind me, and the weather was clear. I could see most of Resolution from where I stood. It was a raw town, newer than Appaloosa, raw lumber, mostly unpainted, boards warping as they dried. Flat front, mostly one-story buildings with long, low front porches covered by a roof. The saloons generally had second floors, and sometimes a second-floor porch. I finished the coffee and put the cup down and strolled Main Street. There were 3 saloons besides the Blackfoot. There was an unpainted one-story shack with a sign in the front window that read Genuine Chicago Cooking. There were no customers yet. A Chinaman with a long pigtail was outside, sweeping down the porch. He kept his head down as I passed. I stopped into the livery stable to visit my horse. There was a bucket of water in his stall and some oats in another bucket. He seemed sort of glad to see me. He nudged at my shoulder and I gave him a piece of sugar that I'd taken from the saloon. Past the livery stable were a couple of independent whorehouses where the girls lived and worked. No gambling, no food, just short sessions for a dollar. No one appeared to be awake in the whorehouses yet. Beyond, a little way from the wooden buildings, were a few tents where the Chinamen lived, maybe 10 to a tent. They cooked in the saloons and washed floors and washed dishes and emptied spittoons and chamber pots and slop buckets. They laundered clothes and ironed and sewed. They mucked out the livery stables. And I knew they stepped aside when any white man encountered them in the street. I had heard someplace that they sent all their money back to China and lived on a few pennies a month. Where I was standing, the main street petered out into a trail that led slowly downhill toward the south. Out a ways on the trail was a small ranch. Homesteader, probably. Beyond that, further out, another one, and on the horizon a couple more. I looked at the plains for a while, stretching out wide, and, to my eye, empty to the horizon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?